Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you today. For those that are gathered in person, for our online community, welcome to you today. For those that are unwell at our home and isolating at the moment because you need to, we send you our greetings today. We're praying for you and that God will be with you in this very uncertain season. Good to be in church today. Yes. Good to see you this morning. Who's looking forward to the Australia Day food? Yes. Did they say there was lamb on the menu? There was no mention of lamb. Lamb. Lamb is good Australian meat. And get some lamb in your belly this week. Make sure you do that. That would be a good thing to do. Well, nice to be with you this morning. I feel like I've not spoken or preached forever. It's been a month since I've preached. I feel like a football player that's had a good rest and ready for the new season. Are you ready for the new season? Yes. Come on, are you ready for the new season? Yeah, you know, they're telling us it's an uncertain season. You know, all over the news in regards to this pandemic, they're saying that the next few weeks, we're going to reach our peak here in the south east area of Brisbane into Logan and down to the Gold Coast. And, you know, so all the news is feeding us that information that the next few weeks are heating up and telling us to get ready for that. But, you know, we've got greater things to get ready than that. We got greater things to get ready for this year than the peak of what's going to happen over the next few weeks. And I think God wants to speak to us, every one of us, about our posture during this period of time. And so today I want to speak a word called fuss or future. Fuss or future. Before I start today, let me just say thank you to all of our teams today. Everyone that's just making church work at the moment. Some of our teams are really stretched, you know, like any other industry, any other business, any other people group, community group or church at the moment. You know, things are a little stretched with our people resource at the moment. I'm just so proud of all of our teams, all they do to make church happen week in, week out. They stand up, they stand tall, they're brave, you know, regardless of how many people are in the room, they just do their thing. And I want to say thank you to every one of them for what they do and making church work. I also want to give a big shout out and thank you to Pastor Darrell and Pastor Marichelle for really carrying church over the last few weeks. They came, give them a big hand. They came home early from their holiday, and they probably wanted to anyway because they had the worst possible week in terms of weather to be at the beach, and it just wasn't a good time weather-wise. But they came home early because I was sick and we were in isolation, and they carried church for a few weeks. So thank you very much for standing up and making church happen over that period of time. You know, I think that a word from the Lord for every one of us today is don't get stuck in the now. Don't get stuck in the now. Don't bow to the now, bow to the name. Don't bow to the now of circumstances, but bow to the name of the future, which is representative of the promise and the purpose and the plans that God has for every one of us. So in other words, don't get stuck in your fuss. Now, we've all got fuss. We've all got stuff going on. We've all got fuss around us. It might be, you know, the consequences of this pandemic and how it's affecting you in a health sense, in a connection sense, in a relationship sense, in a community sense, financially. There's all kinds of fuss around our world at the moment. I want to encourage you not to lose hope in the storm. Don't lose hope while it's a little bit shaky and things are a little bit awkward or things are a little bit uncertain. Don't panic in the pandemic. Don't panic. They're telling us this thing's going to go on and on and on and on and on and on for a while. You know, the good news is the word of the Lord stands forever. Everyone say forever. Yeah. Stands forever. So the future is where our focus really needs to be, not the fuss. You know, people, I study people. People have been my interest for a long, long time. And I study people, and I've noticed that a lot of people get stuck. They get stuck. They get stuck in stuff. They get stuck emotionally. They get stuck physically. They get stuck socially, and particularly in moments where we've had to go through periods of, you know, isolation and whatnot, people have developed new patterns that have caused a certain level of stuckness in their life. You know, stuck in circumstances, stuck in situations or events or moments. Some people stuck in brokenness. Some stuck in sin. And I want to encourage you today, if you're stuck, move out of your stuckiness. Turn to your neighbor and say, move out of your stuckiness today. Move out of your stuckiness today. Move out of the fuss. Move out of the fuss. You know, many people are stuck in the now. Stuck in what's happening around them and can't see beyond it. Stuck in the fallout of this pandemic, the ramifications of it, and they've allowed it to redefine their life and redefine even their faith as believers and redefine their commitment to the purpose and the cause and the mission of Jesus Christ. And some are stuck in the social fallout that's taken place, and it's redefined their friendships and their community structures and support, and they're unable to see a way forward. Here's a great verse for everyone that's stuck today. It's Ephesians 3:20. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "Now all glory to God." What a great place to start. All glory to God. Listen to this. Who is able? God who is able. If you don't get anything else today, get those three words. God's able. God is able through His mighty power that's at work within us. Do you know God's at work within you today? God's at work within you today. And He's at work to do this, to accomplish infinitely more. Everyone say more. Infinitely more than we can ask or think. Other versions say immeasurably more or abundantly more, or even in simpler terms, much, much more. Can I encourage you, church, today with the thought that God is the God of the immeasurably more, the abundantly more, the much, much more, the infinitely more? God is the God of the more. More than what? More than you could think. More than you could ask. More than you can imagine. This verse is the kind of verse that I encourage myself with as a pastor, as a leader, as a preacher, as a God follower, as a disciple, particularly when I'm in difficult moments, that God is bigger than my issue. God is bigger than my circumstance. God is bigger than my request. God is bigger than my obstacle. God is bigger than my barrier. God is bigger than my past. He's bigger than my problem. He's bigger than this pandemic. He's bigger than my now. He's bigger than my now. When we were kids in Sunday school, we used to sing a song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do for you. Do you remember that? What a great truth. My God is so big, so strong, so mighty. It's like a little child looking at their father. And, you know, when I was a child, I'd look at my dad. And my dad was a big man. He was 6 foot three and a half or four, somewhere there. So he stood tall, shoulders back. And as a little boy looking at him, he just seemed so big. He seemed so strong. It seemed like there was nothing that he could not do. And that's the imagery that we need to have of our God, particularly when you're in a tight spot. Particularly when you're in a dark moment, that you've got a big God. Particularly when you're surrounded by events and circumstances that leave us with a spirit and a heart and a mind that's rattled. A mind that is full of uncertainty. And my call for every one of us today, my shout out, my hope, my dream for every one of us today is that we can focus on the future more than we focus on the fuss. Focus on the promise more than we focusing on the problem that surrounds us right now. And that doesn't mean we deny the realities. You know, we're not living in denial. I'm not living in denial with what's going on with this pandemic. I understand to a level what's going on with this pandemic and the circumstances and the sickness pressures that people are having to live with, and the isolation that's required, and, you know, the fact we've got to wear masks, and, you know, we do everything that we can humanly do to help ourselves and help the community and help other people be well and be safe through all of this. We're not avoiding it. We're not thinking that it's not there. It's affecting people. We understand the realities of it. But the one thing we won't do is we won't be bound by it. We won't be bound by the now. We won't be stopped by it. We won't be hindered by it. We won't be distracted by it. We'll remain focused on the future. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, I want to read this to you from my Bible. Often I put it on the screen, but this part here I want to read just from the Bible before I kind of really start preaching to you today. Joshua chapter 1, there's a section there where we're all fairly familiar with this verse, because it's the verse that's given to Joshua and the promise and command that's given to Joshua as the new leader of the children of Israel. Moses, the previous leader, had passed away, and God speaks to Joshua and said, "Look, Moses, your leader, he's no longer with you. He's passed away." But verse 6 says, "Now be strong, Joshua, and be courageous, for you will lead my people to possess the promise, to possess the land that I swore to give your ancestors. So be strong and be very courageous." If you're a leader in the house today, if you lead people in any manner or any fashion, there's only one posture you adopt as a leader, and that is to be strong and to be very courageous and to have a faith-filled spirit so that you can lead the people that are walking with you, that are around you. And the command is to be strong and courageous and obey all the laws that Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of the law continually, meditate on it day and night, so that you can be sure to obey all that is written within my word. And then next comes a verse 10, that you're maybe not familiar with, because a lot of people stop at verse 9. But verse 10 says this: after Joshua got it in his spirit that his job description was to be strong and to be brave and to be bold, regardless of the uncertainty of still not having possessed the promised land, it says this: Joshua then commanded the leaders of Israel, everyone that was a leader with him, he commanded them this: go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready, for in 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land that the Lord thy God has given you. Church, do you know there are things that God has given you that you don't yet have? It's an oxymoron. It doesn't sit right. It doesn't sound right. It's not logical. There are things that God has given you that you have not yet got. And our job is to get what God says is ours. The promises that God makes for us. You know, when I was a young man, many years ago, in my teenage years, there used to be a Christian singer called Morris Chapman. Anyone remember Morris Chapman? He wrote a song based on this verse of Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And it was a song, he used to sing it in church: be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong. And when he sang the be bold part, the congregation would echo the be bold and echo the be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid. I am not dismayed. I'm walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with me. Be bold. Be strong. It's a great song. And I used to love leading it. And when I was a worship leader, they were the kind of songs, CJ and Mia, that we would lead. Be bold, be strong. And it just sang. We're not going to do it today. We just sang the scripture. And the thought was, run through the camp in the song. Run through the camp. Tell everybody, get ready. Get ready. So I'm here today to run through the camp, run through the camera, right into your living room today, wherever you are, and tell everybody, get ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready. Come on, get ready. Get ready. We're not just holding on. We're not just hanging on. We're moving on. Not holding on. Not hanging on. We're moving on. We're moving life forward. We're moving life forward towards the promises of God. So get ready to take the land. Now, if we're going to do that, we've got to get our eyes off the fuss and get our eyes off the future. Our eyes off what's behind us, what's around us, off what surrounds us, and get our eyes on the promise, our eyes on the future. Be a futurist. Be a futurist. Be futuristic in your singing, be futuristic. In other words, be a little bit prophetic. Sing songs of hope. Sing songs of deliverance. Sing songs of victory. Get some shout in your voice today. And be brave. And be bold. And keep walking the path that God has set for you. And don't allow anything to distract you. Keep the purpose of God burning within your heart. So be bold. Take a stand. Refuse to be bound. Refuse to be bland. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be bland. Don't be beige. Don't be boring in this moment of the now with everything that you're facing. God will make a way. God will make a way. You know, the hope of the Word of God and what it says to us, the song we sang this morning talked about it, God being a way maker. God will make a way when there is no way. God will make a way when there is no way. He is the way maker. The Bible literally says this, He is the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So just because I can't see it and I can't see God moving doesn't mean it doesn't exist and doesn't mean God's not moving. The Bible says faith. Faith is something, it's God's a rewarder of those that have faith, and faith is believing that God exists even though you can't see Him. Like, you can't take Him home for lunch. You can't invite Him to dinner physically. He's not going to turn up like that in your house. But you can believe that He is. The Bible says God is spirit. God is spirit, and in spirit He's with us and inside of us. And the Word of God says that He's working inside of us to achieve great things, more than we could possibly imagine. Let me take you to a story in the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament story that highlights New Testament truths of how God walks with us and how God works on our behalf and how God does miracles for people that have a revelation of how big God is and how bright the future really could be. It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. We've got 2 million Jews, 2 million Israelites that are walking through the desert. They've left Egypt. They've been set free from decades, hundreds of years of bondage and slavery under the Egyptians. There are literally generations of Israelites that have known nothing but slavery. And God comes along with a great promise that He would send a deliverer, Moses, and Moses would lead them to a place called the Promised Land. It represented all the blessing that God wanted to bring into their world and their lives. And they were excited about that. And, you know, they got set free by Pharaoh after God did a number on them. And here they are wandering through the wilderness. And they're all excited about it, but Pharaoh's not. And the Egyptian masters, they're not excited at all. And so they send the Egyptian army in hot pursuit of the children of Israel as they're walking towards the Promised Land. And there comes a point in the journey. And here's my point about this. There will always be points. There'll always be points in your journey, my journey, our journey. Points when we're blocked. Points when we're stuck. Points when we don't know what to do, which way to turn. Points when it seems like the future is blocked, the past is blocked, the sides are blocked, and we just don't know what to do. That's where they're at right now in the story. And so at this point, the Israelites are stuck as they run into a place called the Red Sea. The Red Sea stands in front of them, and behind them is the Egyptian army who's in hot pursuit of them. So the Israelites are literally like a lot of people today. They're stuck. They're stuck in a situation that they can't do anything about. They are isolated. They are isolated by circumstances. They've left the past, but they haven't embraced the future yet. They're halfway. There's no way to move forward. There's no way to go back. And God comes and he unsticks them. God comes. It's not good grammar, but it's great preaching. God comes and he unsticks them. You see, God makes a way for them when there was no way. When it looked dark, he made it light. God moved when nothing else was moving. God intervened when it looked like the end. And God put a song back in their hearts. And I think if the church needs to hear anything today, it's get your song back, get your shout back, get your posture back. Get your faith back, get your connection back, get your community back, get your investment back, get your heart back, get your sight back. Don't let what's standing in front of you or what's pursuing behind you dictate to you. And so in Exodus 14, let me read this, verse 19. It says, "The angel of the Lord that had been leading the camp of Israel now shifted and got behind them. And the pillar of cloud that had been in front also shifted to the rear. And the cloud was now between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And the cloud enshrouded one camp in darkness and flooded the other with light. And the two camps didn't come near each other all night." I love this verse. It talks about how the children of Israel were guided and protected by the angel of the Lord. And there was a pillar of cloud by day that changed into a pillar of fire by night to provide and protect the children of Israel. And it talks about how the angel shifted. The angel shifted. The cloud shifted posture or position to be behind the Israelites, to put something between them and the enemy. Between them and the now, between them and the threat, between them and the circumstances. And what happened was this shift was to create a separation between the Israelites and their enemy. It was a visual separation. The Bible says that one camp was made dark. That was the Egyptians. Their camp was made dark and the Israelites' camp was made light. And God shone his light upon them, and that there was a separation, so much so that the Egyptians, although they were so close, they were literally also so far. They could not see and could not find the Israelites because of the darkness. Number of thoughts I got today about this whole story is this: don't worry about the fuss, focus on the future. Don't worry about the fuss, focus on the future. How many times have you seen people, families, communities even, consumed by the fuss that's going on? Consumed by the fuss that's going on. People that are trapped by the fuss. People that are stuck in the fuss. People that spend all their time fussing about the fuss. Fussing about fuss. They live consumed by regret. Some relive a season over and over and over again. Some entomb themselves with the thought that their best days are gone. And they're entombed in the thought of the good old days. You know, the truth is, if we want to live free, we have to move on from the fuss. If we want to live free, we've got to move our focus on from the fuss. Because freedom is found in the future. Freedom is not found in the fuss. Freedom is not found in the fuss. Freedom is found in the future. There's more for you. And I want our church to hear this message today. Wherever you are at home, if you're in the room today, I want you to know that God is the God of the more, infinitely more, immeasurably more, much, much more. There's more for you, no matter how dark it looks, no matter how difficult it is, no matter if we're approaching the peak of this thing or not, doesn't matter how dark that pandemic situation is, God has more for every one of us. And we need to focus more on the future than the fuss, because when we focus on the fuss, we sabotage our future. So let's learn the lesson from the Israelites today that when God shifted the angel and the cloud behind the Israelites, he was literally saying, I've got the fuss covered. You focus on the future. I've got the fuss covered. You focus on the future, which is all good. But how do we focus on the future? How do we move forward when they literally still had a Red Sea right in front of them? And what God was literally saying was, I'm going to put a barrier between you and what surrounds you. And it may kick up some dust when it moves. It may kick up some dust every now and then. But don't fear, I'm hovering. You know, God is hovering. And when God hovers, he creates. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. It's part of the creative act of God. When God hovers, he hovers to create. And I get a sense in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind at the moment that God is hovering. God is hovering. God literally sees things at a different perspective, from a different angle. I don't know whether you've ever hovered. Remember the first time you went up in a plane? You hovered. It means you're up and above and you're looking down from a different perspective. Maybe you've gone up in an air balloon. Who's been brave enough to do that? If you've ever gone up, you get up high and you look down. What seems like disorder and chaos at the ground level looks so ordered and structured from the high point and the high place. You know, when God looks down, what we see as a fuss, he sees as a future. He sees it as the future, and he's defining and redefining things. So God wants us to focus on what's ahead. Philippians 3, Paul talks about it. He says, brothers and sisters, I've not yet attained everything that God's got for us or for me. I've not yet achieved that. But he says, I focus on this one thing. You know, as a believer, can I just say to every one of you in the room today, for all of us, to myself, that we really need to focus our focus. Paul says, I focus on how many things? One thing. This one thing. Everything he was focusing on is encapsulated with this one point of focus. He said, I focus on this one thing. I forget the past. I look forward to the future. I look forward to what lies ahead. You've got to wake up every day with something to look forward to. Something to look forward to. Look forward to a future, not what's around you or around you or behind you. So don't be hunted and don't be haunted by what pursues you. Don't get stuck in your past. Don't get stuck in your present. Focus on what you're pursuing, not what's pursuing you. Focus on what you are pursuing. Do what Paul says. Keep looking forward, stretching forward, moving forward, and determine your posture and your position by your faith and your perspective, which is my next thought. You know, perspective, the way you see things, the way you see your challenge, the way you see your moment, the way you see your stuckiness, that perspective, it can open or close the way forward. It can open or close the way forward. A wrong perspective can keep you out of your promised land. A wrong perspective can keep you out of your promise. There's a lot of good believing people right now that are going to be kept out of their promise because of the posture they host. Because of the posture they host. It's not a posture where they're leaning into the faith that they nurtured. It's not a posture that's leaning into the heart of God like they used to. And that causes us to lose our promise. So a shift back, a shift towards, a shift to leaning in can open the door for the promises of God. You know, when the angel in the story and the cloud shifted behind the Israelites, God started opening up the future in front of them in amazing ways, in miracle-working ways, in ways they'd never thought of or never even imagined was possible. The Bible talks about Moses lifting his staff. This symbol of authority that was given to him as an insecure leader, as an uncertain leader, as a leader that didn't want the job. God gave him this staff, this stick, that was to be like a mantle, a symbol of the authority of God that was upon him. And he pointed it towards the Red Sea, probably not even realizing, understanding really what was going to take place when he did it, but he pointed it towards the Red Sea, and God caused a wind to blow. A wind to blow that blew all night, and it talks about the sea parting. You remember the story if you're in Sunday school. The sea parted and the children of Israel walked through what stood in front of them. Walked through the obstacle, the barrier, the challenge. They were untouched. They didn't get wet. They walked through the Red Sea on dry land. What an amazing miracle that God did for them here. Now, before we go on with that, let's rewind the story just a little bit to see what happened prior to this miraculous moment. It says in Exodus 14:10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites look up and saw the Egyptians coming at them. And as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw them. Egyptians, they screamed, coming at them. They were totally afraid. They cried out in terror to God. And they told Moses, this is their complaint to Moses, weren't the cemeteries large enough in Egypt so that you had to take us out here in the wilderness to die? What have you done to us, taking us out of Egypt? All of a sudden, Egypt looks so good. You know, when you're stuck, even the bad stuff looks good. When you're stuck, even the previous problem you had, the previous job, the previous circumstance, the previous whatever, even that looks good when you're stuck. What have you done to us? Taking us out of Egypt. Back in Egypt. Didn't we tell you this would happen? Didn't we tell you? Leave us alone here in Egypt. We're better off as slaves in Egypt than as corpses in the wilderness. You know, the Israelites, they'd become so stuck in their perspective of their circumstance that all of their attention was now on the bad things rather than on the good things. It's so easy to get there. Particularly in a pandemic, where all of our attention is on the bad stuff rather than the good stuff. And all of our attention is on how bad it is and challenging it is and difficult it is and uncertain it is rather than on a big God and a bright future. And I'm here today to call us back to the perspective of how big our God is, how strong and how mighty, and there's nothing that He cannot do. And I'm here to call us back to the thought that there's a bright future. And the best is yet to come. There's a bright future and the best is yet to come. You see, these people, the Israelites, they'd seen God do so many amazing miracles to deliver them from Egypt, and yet now they were stuck. And that's because of this truth. Miracles don't set people free. Revelation does. Miracles do not set people free. Revelation does. Revelation of who God is, how big God is. Revelation of the plan of God, the purpose of God for every one of us individually and corporately. You see, God can do miracle after miracle, but it's a revelation of who God is and how big God is that really changes us. So church, let's stay focused on how big and how bright. How big and how bright. How big God is and how bright the future is. They were stuck, so Moses spoke up like every good leader does. He spoke up. He preached to them. It says Moses spoke to the people. He said, don't be afraid. This is what a good leader does when people are afraid. They say, don't be afraid. The last thing you want to be told when you're afraid is don't be afraid. But this is what a good leader does. And so Moses tries to still the storm and he speaks to the fuss and he says to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do His work of salvation for you today. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch God do His thing. Take a good look at the Egyptians today because you're never going to see them again. Take a good look at the circumstance, at the enemy, at the problem because you're never going to see this again. God will fight the battle for you. What a great sermon. God will fight the battle for you. And you, what's your job? Here's your job. Keep your mouths shut. I read this in the Message Bible because I laugh every time I read that. It's not a nice thing to tell someone to shut their mouth. But that's literally what this good leader was telling the people to do because their mouths were running off about the fuss and he wanted to get them focused on the future. So here's my three-point sermon within my three-point sermon. When you face adversity, you're in the middle of a pandemic, the problem is overwhelming, calm your fears. Calm your fears. You are in control of your fears, nobody else. You choose your fears, You can choose to escalate them, or you can choose to hush them. It's like a little child that's scared of the dark, and a parent comes in and and speaks softly and calmly. Why do parents do that? Because parents understand there's nothing to be afraid of. And so they come in with a sense of control and they literally go, calm your fears. When you as a parent speak to a child in a calm voice, you impart calmness. When you scream at them to be calm, it's going to escalate the fright in them. And I think heaven is speaking in a calm voice to the church right now. Calm your fears. Calm your fears. The second message from heaven is stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't retreat. Don't run away. Don't hide. Be visual. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. I mentioned my dad before. He was a tall man. He used to often say to us, stand tall. Stand tall. And I think this is a moment for the church to stand tall. Stand tall in the community. Stand tall with each other. Stand tall through the darkness. Stand tall in the middle of this pandemic. And then lastly, shut your mouth. It seems more palatable if you say it softly. Shut your mouth. You know, shut your mouth is such a good instruction. There are times when I've said things I shouldn't have said. Have you ever said things you shouldn't have said? Liar, liar, pants on fire. There's always things that we say, either in the heat of the moment, or when we're under too much pressure, or we're really feeling the pain of the circumstance or the situation. And it's good advice sometimes just to close your mouth and stop talking. Calm, stand, and shut. Such a good sermon. This one. That verse. It's such a good sermon. I think sometimes human nature just whines too much. It just gets too whiny. You know, whining leads to worry. It never leads to winning. Never leads to winning. It leads to worry. Negative talk about life and circumstances, all it does is just affirms our fears. Going to the phone rather than the throne, it just escalates what's going on. Going to the throne of God, casting, as Pastor Marichal spoke the other week, our cares on Him, what that does is it lifts the heaviness and it shares the burden. And it tells God, I'm stuck and I need you to help and I need you to move. And when you cast your cares to God, stop the talk about them, because all you're doing is empowering the problem. So this is a time to be calm and to stand and to shut up. The whining. Thank you for your overwhelming affirmation. I think it is. I think it is. Thank you, Luke. Psalm 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. Unless you stop and you calm and you stand and you shut, I think you lose a sense of stillness about God being God. About God being God and how big God is. You know, back into the story, the Bible says the Lord split the waters in front of them. They walked through that Red Sea on dry land towards the promise. The Egyptians pursued them. You know the story. As the Egyptians got into the middle of the Red Sea, God caused the sea to collapse again. And the song that's written in there was, "The horse and rider were thrown into the sea." And God dealt with the enemy. He dealt with the thing that was pursuing them. And God did it. God shifted the cloud, the angels. He parts the sea and he closes the sea. That's big stuff. That's stuff I can't do. I don't know about you, but I've tried to walk on water. Doesn't work. I've held a stick against the wood. Nothing parted. That's stuff that God does. The pastor doesn't do that. The leadership team can't do that. Your connect group leader can't do that. Only God can do that. That's big stuff. That's the stuff that the hand of God does. That stuff you need a big God to do. So a shift in our perspective enables God to open up the future for us in miraculous ways. So church, we have a responsibility to calm, to stand, to shut, and to focus on a big God who has a big future, who is a God of infinitely more, immeasurably more, who makes a way when there is no way and turns impossible situations around. All things are possible when we believe in a God that makes all things possible. My final thought today is this: don't allow a pandemic to dictate your perspective. Don't allow a pandemic to dictate who you are, how you behave, what your posture is, your God connection, your faith level, your sense of community and belonging and believing together with a group of people, with your tribe, with your church. Because when we do this, like, don't allow temporary conditions of life to dictate a permanent perspective for you. Don't allow that to happen. You may have some setbacks. We have during this season. We've had some setbacks. You may have had some problems and pain and moments of grief and maybe been affected in your job, your business and career, and certainly church-wise, we've been affected in all regards with that. But don't allow those moments to dictate a permanent perspective of life on who God is that is negatively biased. I tell you, every time I come and sit on this front row and I'm in a gathering and I'm in a service, it's me and God. It's me and God in that moment. And I'm not going to let my faith be affected by what I see, by what I feel, by what I hear, by what I sense, by what I know. I'm going to build my faith every time I stand here, every time I sit here, the Word of God washing over me. And I felt that when I haven't had to preach in the last month and others have been speaking the Word of God. And it's so good. Everyone say so good. It's so good. So good. Just to lift your perspective and have a sense of redemption about what you think for the future. So don't allow the moments of stuckiness to create separation and a spirit of isolation. We need each other more than ever. We need each other more than ever. I need you and you need me. It takes two. Everyone say two. Two. It takes two. It takes two. That's a theme for us this year. I'm going to pick up on that theme in a few weeks' time, that it takes two. And literally the thought here is, I believe this with all of my heart. This is not a game. It's not a game. We're in war at the moment. And it takes two. And if you're not connecting, if you're not gathering with others, if you don't have some tribe and family around you spiritually, I just don't think you're going to make it. I just don't think you're going to make it if you go alone. I just don't think you're going to make it if you hide and isolate. I just don't think you're going to make it in a season like this. We need each other more than ever. I need you. You need me. Everyone say, we need you, Pastor. We need you. I need you. You need your connect group leader. You need your kids' church leaders. You need your worship team. You need the tech team. You need the service team. You need the kitchen team. How we need them. We need the kitchen team. We do. We need the hospitality team. We need everybody. We need friends. We need family. We need faith-filled people walking the journey with us. We need connection and we need community. And so Moses, he's cheering on the Israelites and he's saying, just keep moving, come on. Just keep moving, keep walking through the water. He's saying, I know there's a body of water that's ahead of us, but don't stop now. Don't stop now. Don't quit now. Don't freak out on me now. This is not a place to give up on the promise. God promised it. We're going to go and take it. God promised it. We're going to get it. And the people's response was, well, what did you bring us out here for? Why don't you leave us in Egypt? Why don't you leave us there? We told you to leave us there. We told you we were better off as slaves. And Moses says, don't be afraid. Calm your fears. Stand your ground. Shut your whining. Calm, stand, and shut. And his thought is, because God's going to do something big. God's going to do something huge. God's going to do something mind-boggling, something so awesome. So watch God do his work today. Take a good look at what's behind you, the enemy that's pursuing you, because you're never going to see them from this day on, because this battle is the Lord's. You know, there are some battles that are God's battles that aren't my battles. They're God's battles. They're God's battles. And I kind of think that every time the battle is bigger than me, that it involves everybody else, that's God's battle. Because I can't win the battle for everybody. I can win the battle for me, but I can't win the battle for everybody, but God can. God can win the battle for the entire camp, the entire community, the entire city, the entire state, the entire nation, the nations of the world. And that's what's under attack right now. And we need a God moment. We need a God of infinitely more, much, much more right now. We need him to be a cloud. We need him to be a fire. We need him to settle the dust. We need him to calm our fears. I will not be afraid. We need to stand strong. Stand strong and be the church. Stand strong and be the church. And we need to shut up and let God speak. So I need to shut up because I've gone on too long. But I want to cheer you on today. It's a difficult season, but it's not a season to stop. A difficult season is not a reason to stop. A difficult season is a test of your substance and who you are. It's a test of our faith and our faithfulness. So don't let the perspective that you have of God change. Don't let it change. Keep your belief in the faithfulness of God, the bigness of God, and the brightness of the future. Don't downgrade your faith. Don't draw back. Don't disconnect. You won't make it without connection. But in the words of that song, be bold. Would you stand? Let's stand right across the hall today. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. I will not be afraid. I will not be dismayed because I'm walking in faith and victory. So run through the camp and tell everybody, get ready. Get ready to take the land. So don't focus on the fuss. Focus on the future. Don't be bland. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be bland. Tell them not to be beige. Don't be bland. Be bold. Be brave. Be beautiful. Vibrate faith. Everyone say vibrate. Vibrate. Vibrate faith. I don't know whether you've ever worked on a packer, those motorized packers that pack down, you know, soil or sand or gravel, and you get on those suckers and it just shakes, and you get off it and your whole body's shaking. Everything, you're vibrating. You know, I think there's a certain vibration we need to have at the moment. Yeah. That imparts to other people faith. That's what happens when you come into a gathering like this. You come in and like faith is vibrated from heaven to us. To us. I feel that. I feel that. We're going to sing a song in a moment, Waymaker. And I was standing in worship today. And I yell. I always yell. You don't hear me because I've got the mask on. But I yell down the front all the time because I believe in the shout. I believe in the shout. The Bible talks about the shout of victory. I believe in that. I believe in the clapping of hands. I believe in that. Believe in all of that. When I was a kid in our church, like our church was unpredictable. We had a lot of Thursday Islanders in our church. Beautiful people. They could play any instrument. They could sing like angels. And we had one brother, because we called everyone brother in those days. Before it was hipster to call people brothers, everyone was brother. We had one brother called Stevie Gishu. He was a preacher. And he'd strum his guitar. He only had two chords, three chords. He had the same strum for every song. It was ka-tunk, ka-tunk, ka-tunk. Same strum. And he'd be in worship, or leading worship, or in the congregation. And he'd yell out at the top of his voice, Merv. He'd go, "He's here! He's here!" And as a kid, you look around and you're thinking, "Who's here? Who are we looking for? Who's here?" And of course, he meant God. You go, "Who's here? He's here." And then every now and then, he'd throw in a twist. And he'd go, "What are you doing here?" And it would really freak you out as a kid. Because he was asking the question of the devil, "What are you doing here? Because you don't belong here." I want you to know today, I stood there and I yelled out, "He's here!" And I went straight back to Stevie all those years ago. A man of God that could sense the presence of God. And church, I want you to know, it doesn't matter who's against you, what's against you, how dark, how difficult, how challenging it is. When you gather with the people of God, your faith is increased. And if you know God is with you, and the Word of God says He is with you, then nothing can stand against you. Nothing can stand against you. I believe that with all my heart today. We're going to sing this song, a great declaration of God being our way maker. Come on, why don't you lean in and worship God for a few moments today? Come on. Pray for you today before we go. I want to pray into circumstances and situations today
I want to pray into the heart of what's going on in our community and our world. I want to pray for you. Why don't you reach out your hand today? If you're at home today, why don't you stand and reach out your hand as a posture of faith? Today we want to call upon the name of the Lord. We want to know who God is. He's big. He's powerful. He's waymaker. That's who God is. Father, we thank you today that you are with us, every one of us today. No matter the turmoil of what's going on in life right now, whether it's caused by the pandemic or other issues and other circumstances or events that are taking place, you are with us. That's the promise of your word today. You stand with us. You overshadow us. You hover above the circumstances of life. And so we call upon your name today. We will not bow to the now. We will bow to the name. We will not focus on the fuss. We will pursue the future is what we will do. And we will lift our eyes, God, to see you as a big God. The future as a bright future. And we'll have that song in our heart and that shout of victory shall be in our camp. We'll own that. We'll host that. We'll promote that. So, Father, I pray for people today. Be close. Be close to people. Help people today. Deliver people today. Heal people today. Nurture dreams again, Father, is what I pray. I pray for the church, that the church be strong, bold, brave, beautiful. Father, we pray for our city and our nation and the nations of the world against this pandemic. We're praying, God, for it to break in Jesus' name, for the tide to turn, Father, and for deliverance to come is what we pray. Protect people, all people. Protect people is what we pray in the precious and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you.